right after the international news.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. And happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with Super Bowl 56, the National Football League's title game. It'll be played Sunday in Southern California at SoFi Stadium, the home of the Los Angeles Rams, who will take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Joining us now with a feature preview is Dan Friedel. Super sporty greetings, Dan.
Super sporty greetings, Sonny. I'm joining you today from Ohio, the home state of the Cincinnati Bengals, one of the teams in this weekend's Super Bowl in Los Angeles. Of course, it's Super Bowl 56, Sonny, where the Bengals will face the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday. The Rams lost the Super Bowl not too long ago to the now retired Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. We know Brady added to his long list of lifetime achievements by winning last year's big game in his first season as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Brady recently announced his retirement after being eliminated from the playoffs by the Rams. This year, it's a pair of first-time Super Bowl quarterbacks who will be leading their teams. Notably, both Joe Burrow of Cincinnati and Matthew Stafford of the Rams were the first overall selections in their respective drafts. For Stafford, he brings the Rams to the big game in his first season as their signal caller after starting his career in 2009 with the Detroit Lions. For Cincinnati's Burrow, it's only his second year in the NFL. But here on the Sunny Side of Sports, we're not too concerned with those guys. I'm here to discuss some of the key players for both teams who have African connections. If you're a Nigerian sports fan and plan to watch the game, you'll probably be cheering for Cincinnati. There will be three key contributors on the field who all have Nigerian parents. I talked with Jay Morrison, a writer who covers the Bengals for The Athletic, the U.S.-based sports website. He said, CJ Uzama, who plays tight end, number 87, is a key part of the culture of the Bengals. He played football for Auburn University before coming to the Bengals and is one of the most experienced players on the team. Morrison said Uzama often talks about the idea of loving the hard work that comes with playing football.
He has just kind of galvanized this locker room. They talk so much about building a culture and playing for each other and getting guys that love football. Not what football brings, the fame and the fortune and all that, but guys that love the grind of football, the hard work that goes into it, the practice, the game planning, all the stuff that nobody else sees. And CJ is at the heart of that.
That's Jay Morrison of The Athletic, Sonny. Morrison praised Uzama's ability to keep working even when the Bengals were one of the worst teams in the NFL, and he'd get knocked around by the powerful teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens. He just kept fighting through and playing. He kept coming back the next week, Morrison said. Here's more from Jay.
He doesn't have the Captain C on his shirt, but he is undoubtedly a leader on this team just because of his personality and the fact that he has been here so long. And he has really seen his role on the field expand.
Now, Uzama got hurt in the most recent playoff game when the Bengals defeated the Kansas City Chiefs in overtime to reach the Super Bowl, but he recently said he plans to play on Sunday, even with a sore knee. Two other key Bengals players are defensive back Chidobe Awuzie and offensive lineman Hakeem Adeniji. Those two, Morrison says, will need to play well if Cincinnati is to win this game. Morrison said Awuzie will need to cover Los Angeles receivers Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham. Adeniji will be tasked with trying to keep Aaron Donald, one of the most destructive defensive linemen in the NFL, from getting too much pressure on Burrow. Here is Jay Morrison.
It's going to be on Awuzie to blanket those guys and try to cover them and limit what they can do, because both of those guys can have huge games, and it'll really be interesting to see what they do with Awuzie, if they have him follow Kupp around, or if they just kind of keep him on one side. He'll end up with Kupp or Beckham, depending on how the Rams line up. But he is going to be a key. Adeniji, maybe not be a key in terms of a positive impact, but he just can't get destroyed. And I know that sounds awful, but the Aaron Donald does that to a lot of interior linemen. And if Adeniji cannot hold up, it's going to be a long day for Joe Burrow and that entire Bengals offense.
Sonny, that's Jay Morrison. So it's clear Cincinnati is the team Nigerian NFL fans should be rooting for Sunday. But also keep an eye out for Obonia Okoronkwo, a linebacker and special teams player for the Rams. He should be on the field for about 30 plays. Sonny, I'll be rooting for a good game, but now that I know more about these Cincinnati players, I think I'm cheering for the Bengals to bring a Super Bowl back to Ohio for the first time ever. That's all from me here in snowy Ohio. Sonny, back to you.
Thanks, Dan. From snowy Ohio, let's go to the warmer Los Angeles suburb of Inglewood, where businesses near the Super Bowl SoFi Stadium are banking on a big weekend. We'll hear from some residents and business owners in this report from VOA's Anna Rice.
Martin Gonzalez's barbershop is located just across the street from the SoFi Stadium, where this year's Super Bowl will be played.
We're off Sundays and Mondays, but we'd probably just be here just to hang out, you know, to see, you know, what it's all about. The owner of the landlord, you know, he tries to sell the spots in the parking lot, so it's kind of hard for us to actually come in here, you know.
And while some are renting out parking spots for spectators, others are posting their apartments on Airbnb and charging hundreds or even thousands of dollars a day. Real estate prices in the Los Angeles suburb of Inglewood, where the stadium is located, have also gone through the roof in the past few weeks.
It's ridiculous, but it brings more value to, you know, to the city. You know, Inglewood is not really on the map like that, but now, you know, now it is.
SoFi is the home stadium of the Los Angeles Rams, which ended up in this year's Super Bowl final. They will battle the Cincinnati Bengals for the championship. Tickets for the event can go as high as $60,000 for one seat, while parking near the stadium will cost fans anywhere from $400 to $6,000. But these prices have not dampened the excitement.
This is the first thing that's coming back for a long time, as far as, you know, some outdoor entertainment. So this is very exciting to see this coming back, and I'm very happy to see it coming back. It can relieve some of the, I guess you could say, pandemic fatigue.
Football fans coming to Los Angeles will generate an estimated $500 million in profits for the city, a prospect that excites local businesses.
We're expecting a big crowd, a lot of customers. We have a lot of orders to fulfill. It's kind of exciting. A little overwhelming, but still exciting.
Well, it's going to be a busy four-day weekend for us, so we are making sure we have enough food for everybody.
We hired about four new people in our kitchen, and we hired about two new waitresses and an extra bartender. As you can see, our patio is extended, and it's taking over the sidewalk, so we're excited to have the Super Bowl here in Inglewood.
Inglewood has implemented heightened security measures as the city prepares for a wave of tourists over the weekend. Sunday's Super Bowl will feature recording artists such as Eminem and Snoop Dogg, who will perform at halftime. Televised nationally, the average price for a 30-second commercial will cost companies $6.5 million, about $1 million more than last year. In Inglewood, California, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Hello, listeners. My name is David Temong, the Paralympic silver medal 2016, gold 2017, bronze 2020, Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
Samson Omale joins us once again with a big and spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sunny. We begin the wrap of Africa sports action for this weekend with the latest FIFA rankings released on Thursday for the month of February. Newly crowned African champion Senegal is the best African team on the continent. Senegal not only retained their position as the highest ranked African country, but also moved from 20th to the 18th spot in the global ranking. This is the highest rank ever for the Teranga Lions, who are still celebrating their maiden African success where they beat Egypt via penalty shootout in the final. Morocco occupies the second spot in Africa, but 24th globally. The Atlas Lions were stomped in the quarterfinals of AFCON 2021 by Northern African rivals Egypt. In third position is Nigeria. Despite the early exit from the just-concluded African Cup of Nations in Cameroon, the Super Eagles of Nigeria have moved up three places in the latest FIFA rankings released on Thursday. They occupy the 32nd position globally. Egypt sits at 34th, but 4th on the continent, and Tunisia is 5th on the continent, but is ranked 36th in the world to wrap up the top five. Algeria slipped to 43, while Mali occupies the 48th position, and Ivory Coast is 51 on the global ranking. However, the biggest jump of all this month was by Gambia, as the Scorpions ascended 25 places to 125th spot, courtesy of their run to the quarterfinals of the African Cup of Nations. Staying with football news, it's match day one in the CAF Champions League, Africa's premier club competition, as it resumes this weekend with seven group stage fixtures across the continent. The action opens on Friday evening with three matches. Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa will tackle Al Hilal of Sudan in the Group A clash, while Etoile du Sahel will host CR Belouizdad in the Group C North African Derby. Friday's late kickoff will be at the Stade Mohammed V when Wydad Athletic Club of Morocco play Sagrada Esperanca. Petro de Luanda of Angola will be away to Zamalek on Saturday evening, while an early kickoff sees Botswana upstart Jaweng Galaxy hoping to get the better of Esperance de Tunis in a Group C clash. The action wraps up with a late kickoff on Saturday as another team marks their debut at this stage of the competition, with South Africa's AmaZulu heading to Morocco to face Raja Casablanca. Radio sports journalist Ubum Ferdinand reviews this weekend's fixtures.
There are going to be a lot of enterprising moments as Horoya of Guinea hosts a tentative of Algeria tomorrow in Conakry. Horoya on its own have a couple of international players in their fold, and they are no pushover, you know that. So it's possible they could pick the max 1 point. So in this very tie, you can't say who will take the day. But if you look at bookmakers' prediction, you want to give it to a tentative of Algeria due to their long history in the competition. Then the other big game is going to be the one between Zamalek of Egypt and Petro Atletico de Luanda of Angola. But Zamalek, I've had a couple of near misses in the last couple of years now. They had a couple of their players in the Africa Cup of Nations, so they are brimmed with confidence as well as some high level of fitness.
And now to the FIFA Club World Cup. Pizzo Massimani's dream to lead his Al Hockley words into the 2021 FIFA Club World Cup final suffered a huge setback on Tuesday as the African champions lost 2-0 to South American champions Palmeiras in the first semi-final match. Al Hockley coach Pizzo Massimani speaks about the frustration at losing at this same stage of the championship in the last edition.
We hoped to be in a better position than last year, but we are in the same position that we were at this stage in the semifinals last year, coincidentally the same score. That really means that we have to improve, so we haven't improved in that sense. But disappointed because we let ourselves down with a red card, and that was the time when we had the team on momentum, hoping that we can get a goal, and we looked like we are scoring. Yeah, what can we do? We played a good team. They have a little bit of quality, and they were stronger, a little bit fresher. Now, the difficult thing is that we are playing now the third match, and the yellow cards come into play now.
In swimming news, South Africa Olympic swimmer Tajiana Schoenmaker, who surprised many with her world record and gold medal performance in the pool at the Tokyo Olympics last year, says her next goal is excelling at the Commonwealth Games. Her 200 meters breaststroke triumph proved to be South Africa's sole gold medal in Japan and was her country's first female medal in an Olympic pool since the great Penny Hens took bronze in 2000. Her target is to have a podium finish in Birmingham during the Commonwealth Games later in the year.
My first major international medal was also at Commonwealth Games in 2018. So, yeah, we had world champs. That was supposed to happen in May, but it got postponed now due to COVID. So it does leave a chance to just really focus on Commonwealth Games. And, yeah, we might not have a lot of events. We're still with the whole COVID situation, but we have to make the most of what we have. And, yeah, Commonwealth Games, I'm very excited. And that's basically it for the year.
And now to mixed martial art, UFC middleweight champion, Nigerian-born New Zealand professional mixed martial artist, kickboxer and former boxer Israel Adesanya rematch fight with Robert Whittaker at the UFC 217 is scheduled for this Saturday. UFC 271 takes place on February the 12th at the Toyota Center in Houston. Adesanya and Whittaker enter the rematch with something to prove in what's arguably the most competitive title fight pairing that can be made on paper at 185 pounds. The same distinction was made when they met for the first time at UFC 243 in October 2019, but reality played out much differently as it was an entirely one-sided affair in favor of the Nigerian-born Adesanya. Adesanya, popularly called the Last Style Bender, speaks of expectations and plans ahead of the rematch this weekend.
I'm still hungry. You know, I'm 32. I'm fresh. I'm young. And I keep saying this week, I've got the training camp. I went back to the young Izzy, the kid that was just soaking everything up and just be real curious, like, how does that work? Ooh, let me try that. And I'll do it the next day and I'll be successful at it. Or if I fail, I'll try it again. So, yeah, I haven't lost that step. I never did. Rematches like this, there's too much on the line for myself that I put that pressure on myself that I make sure I can't lose and he can't win.
In basketball news, the 16-team International Basketball Federation Women's Basketball World Qualifier is on the way across three locations. Four groups will be playing simultaneously in Japan, Serbia, and the United States, with Australia, the World Cup hosts, and US, the Women's Tokyo 2020 Olympic champions, handed guaranteed passages to the tournament. Mali and Nigeria are in Group D and they will battle for qualification in Belgrade, the Serbian capital, set to host the final two groups in the singular qualifying tournaments. In their opening game, Nigeria's D Tigress were outclassed 90-76 by China. The Otis Hogley-led girls, who booked a place in the qualifier after their historic three-peat triumph at the 2021 AfroBasket in Yaoundé, sorely missed Ezi Nikalu, who had been ruled out for 6 months with a knee injury. Coach Otis Hogley was full of praise for the girls despite the loss to China.
I thought China's really good and no excuses. I thought our girls did not quit. I thought they played hard. I thought they met a physical game, and by the second half, they were up to the task. And this young lady here and that young lady there, man, they have motors. They play hard, and they're young. They're the future.
Ami Okonkwo, the Tigress player, says the ladies hope to do better in their subsequent games.
Hard-fought game for us. I think that we came out there and gave our all and did the best that we could. Of course, there's more work to do. We have to get back to the drawing board. There's two more games in 3 more days. And we just have to tighten up on the things that we made mistakes in this game and do better in the next games.
Nigeria will face France later on Friday evening.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale reporting from Abuja, Nigeria.
My name is Elizabeth Okumu, assistant captain and player, University of Nairobi Dynamite basketball team, and currently a player of Lioness, the Kenya national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. Muckbill Yabarow was one of our primary voices in our coverage last year of the inaugural season of the Basketball Africa League. And Muckbill joins us now for a look at Thursday night's National Basketball Association action. Sporty greetings, Muckbill.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Man, oh man, was it an exciting night of basketball last night. We'll dive right into it. The performance of the night has to go to Luka Doncic, who absolutely was unstoppable against the Clippers. His team, the Dallas Mavericks, beat the LA Clippers 112-105, and Luka had 51 points, his career high, and 9 rebounds. Let's keep it rolling. With a rematch of the NBA Finals, the Phoenix Suns versus the Milwaukee Bucks. The Suns have been rolling with the number one spot in the Western Conference in a 3-game win streak, trying to make it 4 with this game. The Suns were able to get a great team win over the Bucks 131-107 with a phenomenal double-double performance by Chris Paul. He had 17 points and 19 assists, and DeAndre Ayton was on the receiving end of those assists with 27 points. Devin Booker also added another 17 points. Now to swing it to the number one team in the East, the Miami Heat played the New Orleans Pelicans and were able to win with the help of both Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, putting up 29 points each. Miami is also on a 4-game win streak. Next, we have the scorching Memphis Grizzlies beating the Detroit Pistons 132-107 with the first-time All-Star Ja Morant leading the way with 23 points.
Our offense is still rolling, allowing us to get out to big leads once we get stops on the other end. And, you know, credit to all our guys, you know, for putting in the work, you know, during the season. And we just got to keep it going, continue to play, you know, at the level we're playing at right now.
The Grizz are also on a 4-game win streak, and they're really looking good in that third spot in the Western Conference with 39 wins and 18 losses. Now on to the Washington Wizards versus the Brooklyn Nets. Both teams are without key players Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant, but the Wizards edged the Nets out 113-112, led by Kyle Kuzma, who had a triple-double with 15 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists.
Just coming out of halftime, we knew exactly what we the game plan was, which was try to get the ball out of Kyrie's hand as much as possible and just get stops.
Kyrie Irving put up 31 points in a losing effort for the Nets. The next match was between the Toronto Raptors versus the Houston Rockets, and the Raptors won convincingly 139-120. The Raptors are on an 8-game win streak, which is the longest streak in the NBA at the moment. Fortunately for the Houston Rockets, they do have the worst record in the Western Conference. The last game of the night was the Golden State Warriors versus the New York Knicks. It was a close one, and the Knicks were able to get that win against the Warriors 116-114. Julius Randle had a monstrous double-double with 28 points and 16 rebounds to keep the Warriors off. Steph Curry had 35 points and 10 assists in a losing effort and missed a potentially game-tying layup with under a minute left in regulation. The Warriors do have that second spot in the Western Conference, but have been on a two-game losing streak. And we cannot leave without talking about the blockbuster trade between the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers right at the buzzer beater of the trade deadline that ends up sending James Harden and Paul Millsap to the Sixers and Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and two first-round draft picks to Brooklyn. That's all for me, Sonny. Back to you.
Thanks, Muck Bill. That's Muck Bill Yabarow. Madagascar skier Mia Clerk has been competing at the Beijing Winter Olympics in her own personally designed race suit, as we hear now from VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Olympic Games have long been recognized as a global showcase for the world's most elite athletes. But through the years, the Games have also demonstrated that sports and fashion can go hand in hand. During the opening ceremony, the parade of athletes proudly display the colors of their respective countries in eye-catching attire, and they look just as stylish in team competitions. But what happens if you're an Olympic athlete who isn't a fan of the team uniform? Well, if you're anything like Madagascar alpine skier Mia Clerk, you design your own.
4 years ago, in Pyeongchang, we had a race suit all white with some green and red, but that was it. And I really wanted to represent Madagascar, and I designed my race suit.
Clerk is competing in her second Olympic Games in Beijing, and she says it was important that her uniform showed the world the culture of Madagascar and the daily lives of people in the region.
This is the daily Malagasy work, and they're doing this every day in Madagascar. This is a lemur design, because I really like lemurs, and this is really famous in Madagascar. So, yeah, it's kind of cool. I really like my race suit.
And Clerk's second appearance as a flag bearer in this year's opening ceremony gained her some new followers on social media.
When they saw me at the opening ceremony and on Facebook, they started to following me, and yeah, they said, oh, this is a girl from Madagascar, and now they are supporting me. They are sending a lot of messages about, like, come on, Mia.
Support for Clerk has continuously grown since she first learned to ski at just 3 years old. At age 16, she made her World Cup and Winter Olympic debut. And earlier this week, the now 20-year-old competed in the giant slalom competition in Beijing and finished in 41st place. Clerk was hoping for a better result despite a fractured leg she suffered last year that derailed her training. But she says nothing will derail any future goals in the sport and in fashion design.
Maybe one day I will do some World Cup podiums, I hope, because this is one of my goals. Or maybe next year I will be a fashion designer or something, because that's what I want to do after my athlete career.
And she wants her appearance at the Beijing Olympics to offer hope to her home country that is still reeling from two cyclones that have battered the region.
They are living something really special at the moment in the country because of the earth. It's really difficult for them, so I really want to show them that I'm fighting for them.
In 2016, Clerk became the first female athlete to represent Madagascar in the Winter Olympics. And this year, she is the only African woman to compete in Beijing. She is one of six athletes representing the African continent. The other five are Ghanaian alpine skier Carlos Mader, Eritrean alpine skier Shannon Abeda, Nigerian cross-country skier Samuel Ekpafan, Moroccan alpine skier Yassine Awich, and alpine skier Matthew Neumüller, who, along with Mia Clerk, served as a flag bearer for Madagascar. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you. Have a good weekend.
You have a good weekend, too, Gwen, and I hope our listeners have a good weekend. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.